I want to talk to you about the Romans 8:28 effect. The 8:28 effect. One of my children said to me this week, "Dad, do you have a favourite verse of Scripture?" And I said, "Oh, that's hard. That's very hard. There are so many." There are, aren't they? There's quite a lot. I ought to know how many verses there are in Scripture, but I don't off the top of my head. But there's an awful lot of them that are really memorable, that are really, really good. And I was just praying, I was saying, "Lord, what do you want me to bring this Sunday?" And this voice replayed in my head. "Dad, have you got a favourite verse of Scripture?" And so I thought I'd share one of the three or four that I mentioned to her that day. And my choice is Romans 8:28. "We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose." Now, my PowerPoint today has got a theme. Jonathan will appreciate it. I will appreciate it. Most of you, it'll go over your heads. But that doesn't matter, because for me and Jonathan, we will appreciate it. It worked. Oh, you've no idea how long I was praying that sound effect would work. "We know that in all things God is working for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose." We know. I want to dissect this verse and start with this phrase, "we know." Now, why would Stephen Redman want to put a picture of Captain Scarlet and the Mysterons on the screen, a show which is probably unknown to most of you, but I was brought up with? Why? Because mysterion is a Greek word. And it means something that has been concealed, but has now been revealed. So it has moved from being hidden to being in the open. And there is this word in our New Testament, mystery, which is this Greek word mysterion, which is, we miss the entire point of it if we don't understand that mysterion has been revealed. Yes, it was concealed, but it has been revealed. So when Paul talks to you about the mystery of our faith, the mystery of this, the mystery of that, he is talking about things that we didn't know about, but we now know about. Yes? So it's important that we grasp this. And Romans 8:28 is one of these great mysterions. It is an issue that has now been revealed because we know that God works for our good. We know that God is involved in our lives. We know that God has reached out to us. We know because of the cross. We know because of the empty tomb. We know that God loves us and cares for us. We know it. If you like, every Christian has got a little knower inside them. Your knower is what you know with. It's you choose to know, and once you've chosen to know, your knower is activated. And I go around with my knower activated. It's like a Geiger counter. And I know that in all things God is working for my good. And do you know that is absolutely vital when you're living your life? When you're living life and all of a sudden it hits the fan, and you know what it is that hits the fan. You know when things go badly wrong. That's when you need to know that God is working for your good. In 1998, when my 4-year-old son was diagnosed with cancer, I didn't know what was happening, but I knew one thing, that God was working for my good. When he died in my arms in 2001, I knew that God was working for my good. I didn't know that it was good because it wasn't good. In fact, it was terribly bad. It was an awful situation, but I knew that God was working for my good. And you know, as much as I'd have him back tomorrow if I could, the reality is I have seen God turn that round for good. I am serving in my last year of being chairman of Candlelighters. One thing I did when I was elected the chairman of the largest regional cancer charity for children was I brought in a ruling that you serve in 3-year terms and that except in exceptional circumstances you can only serve 2 terms, just to keep things flowing and moving. And I'm coming up to the end. You know, February next year, that'll be the end for me with that. But it has given me a fantastic point of influencing the flow of a major charity, and it has allowed me to have a hand in touching so many lives for which I'm grateful to God. Would I rather still have a son? You bet I would. I would rather not have had that position. But you know, God has been very good, and because I have a heart for people who are going through what I went through, God has given me an open door. And an open door, it's a mystery where it came from. But the point is, we know now, we know why it came, because God is working for our good. Do you know this morning? I hope you do. We need to know, because when we're facing hard times, when we're facing pain and affliction of all types in our lives, we need to know. You may not be able to see it. It's like Abraham and Isaac going up Mount Moriah. God has told him, I want you to go and sacrifice your son, your only son, Isaac. He lived in a land where child sacrifice was commonplace. And so he doesn't have a Bible. He has no reference point on God. So he climbs up the mountain. He says, well, I heard God say it. I better get on and do it. And as he's coming up the mountain, what he can't see is up the other side of the mountain, there's a sheep coming. And when they get to the top, they will meet. And God will say, don't touch the child. I've given the sacrifice. And so God gave a lamb for sacrifice on Mount Moriah, which happens to be Mount Golgotha outside Jerusalem. That is the same place where Jesus died. Wasn't it amazing that God reveals all of that in the life of Abraham? But you can't see what's coming up the other side of the mountain to meet you. You can't. You just have to know. You have to know that God is with you. And I want to encourage you today, God himself is with us. Yes? Oh, that's hopeful. Right. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. This is Hebrews 11 verse 1. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people of days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. Let me tell you, in a world in which we now have scientific evidence for various things about creation, about the way the universe came into being, let me tell you, I still know that the universe was formed by God's command. If you want to know where the Big Bang came from, I'll tell you where it came from. It came from the mouth of God as the word of God was released. God said, and it was. And we know that. I know that with my knower. I am not being overcome by Mr. Ron's today. Oh, it's happening. Wonderful. Captain Scarlet is a puppet show, which they then remade as a cartoon a few years ago. Did 2 series of it as a cartoon. I've got to be honest with you, I watched a few of them. When I was a kid, one Christmas, everybody had to have an SPV, a Spectrum Pursuit Vehicle. And if you didn't have one, you were nobody in the school playground. You really weren't. When it was repeated, when my kids were little, you had to have a cloud base, Spectrum cloud base. That was their headquarters. But the thing that everybody remembers about Captain Scarlet is he was indestructible. And there he is on the screen now, dying again, because he died every week. But he always came back to life because he was indestructible. Does this have an echo in your minds? Do you know anybody else who did this? It's very interesting. As we go through, we'll see echoes of God's plan of salvation in this TV show. But what does God mean when he says, we know that in all things God is working for the good of those who love him? Now, if you read a few commentaries on this, which, as you can imagine, I may have done, then you will know that one of the great themes of this section of the Bible is it's a section dealing with persecution. It's a section you're dealing with when you read to your church in Sri Lanka when 150 of them or so many were killed in a bomb last week. When you're reading in Nigeria and 40 people were killed in the church last week. When you're reading in all of these places and Christians are suffering. This was written to Rome. This was written to Rome at the heart of the persecution, at a time when persecution was really rising, when they're baptizing new converts underground so that no one will see them, but the soldiers are waiting for them as they climb up out of the ground. And they're being baptized and they're being martyred on the way out. This was the reality that Paul was writing to when he wrote the Romans. And when he says, we know that in all things God is working for the good of those who love God, he is talking to people who are facing persecution. And he wants you to know that basically, guys, no harm can befall you. Now, what are you saying, Stephen? Are you saying this is like a talisman? If you have it printed on a badge and stuck on your jacket, then no harm will befall you. No, I'm not saying that. Neither is that what the Bible is saying. But what the Bible is saying is this. Guys, no harm can possibly divide you from the power of God, the love of God, the promises of God. You have a promise that if you have decided to follow Jesus, that he has gone away to prepare a place for you, and he will come again and receive you to himself, that you might be with him forever and ever. And basically, it doesn't matter if they come along and dismember you. It doesn't matter if they come along and blow you up. It doesn't matter if they come along and chop off your head. It doesn't matter what sort of damage they do to you, because ultimately, there can be no harm to you because you will be with the presence of Jesus forever and ever. And in this day and age in which the NHS solves 95% of our health problems, and we don't really have to worry, you know, it's not even like cancer doesn't kill people as quickly as it used to do. You know, I was talking to a guy the other day, and he'd been having treatment for 6 years. And when he was diagnosed, they gave him a month to live. And he's been having treatment now for 6 years. And he said to me, it's not a bad deal, is it? I said, no, it's not. Not a bad deal. That's 6 years. You know, the reality is so many people can do so much to help us in our health. But ultimately, people, we will all die. And what we need to come back to is a recognition that this life is transitory. It is a passing phase. You might want so many things for this life, but believe me, Jesus said that we should lay up treasure for ourselves in heaven, because there no one can nick it. Well, you don't need an insurance policy, because God protects everything in heaven, and we ultimately can't lose. A pastor in this city who died, oh, I don't know, probably when I was about 30 or something like that. He had cancer, and he stood up in front of the church and he said, you know, if God heals me, I win. If God doesn't heal me, I win. And I thought this was a tremendously great understanding that he had, that whether we win or we lose in this life, we win because we live eternally. And I don't care if you get 70, 80, 90... Mary from Amana House, who those of you who go to Amana House will remember Mary, lovely Mary, she died last week. 102. It doesn't matter if you live to 102. There is a place where we will live forever. I went to watch Avengers Endgame last night. And it's an interesting thing about these people that destroyed in the snap. Those of you that know the last movie. And where were they? For years. And there's a sort of an undercurrent there. It's interesting. But that's all make-believe. That's all talk. It's all a story. But heaven's not a story. Jesus isn't a story. God isn't a story. Your faith isn't a story. You have the power to live forever. And God will see that there's no harm. Nothing. It doesn't matter what they do to you. It doesn't matter if they drive you from your home. It doesn't matter if they take all your money away. Which, that wouldn't be so difficult for me. Because there isn't anything to start with. But you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because we know that in all things God is working for the good of those. If God is working for our good, then what does it matter that someone else is working against us? It's irrelevant. Yes, it can be painful. It can be hurtful. Yes, we have to suffer some things sometimes. But the great news is we have become indestructible. I don't really think the story background behind Captain Scarlet's indestructibility is that believable. But mine is. Yours is. Because Jesus died that we might live. And this life passes. But the life to come goes on forever and ever. Captain Scarlet, Captain Blue, Lieutenant Green. Red, green and blue. The three primary colours. Very important to a photographer, a camera operator filming this show. And I'm sure there were little jokes they had about all the scenes that were red, green and blue. Because there were a lot of scenes like this. The reality is that these three men on the screen worked together. Along with some other ones, like Captain Ochre, who on earth wants to wear an ochre uniform? I mean, what on earth is ochre anyway? But he never got much of a mention. But these three were in every episode. And the reality is that Lieutenant Green, incidentally, was the first black regular character in a British TV show. It's amazing, that, isn't it? So there you have it. And you might say he was a puppet. No, but he was voiced by a black person. How wonderful, how great that these three men worked together. And we understand working together, don't we? Because in most jobs these days, we're part of teams. We work in teams. Now, come on, you three, get on, you know. We've had our setup team this morning. Did you see them furiously working actively? We've had the worship team working together. It's good, isn't it? We're here to work together. We're not here to feather our own nest. This is not about a kingdom for Jonathan and a kingdom for Paul. This is a kingdom for Jesus. And we work together as a team. But we know that in all things, God is working together for the good of those who love him. What is working together? What is working together? All things are working together. You know, some stuff that happens, we don't really get. Rabbi Kushner wrote this amazing book that good things, bad things happen to good people. Nearly got it wrong. Sorry? That's right. That's right. Thank you. You've remembered it. I've got a few books by him, actually, because he's a very inspiring author. But what an amazing question for a Jewish rabbi to ask. Why do these things happen? But God is able to pull threads together so that we can look at these threads and they look like a mix of rubbish. But on the other side, there's a beautiful tapestry. Have you ever looked at a tapestry from the rear end? It's a shock when you see, because on the front, it's great. It's art. On the back, it's very different. And we are always looking from the backside on our lives. But God is working things together. You know, I've always believed that when something goes wrong in our lives, God says to the angels, hey, get down there with Steve Redman. I want you to sort this out and turn it for good. And you know what? I believe by faith that that's happened to me time after time after time. God has worked things around for good. Things are working together in my favour. I remember once when I left my first ever job. I was in my first job for 14 years. I'm not a gadabout, you know. I don't sort of flip from thing to thing. I was in this job for 14 years. And I left it with nothing. And my friend said to me, Stephen, what on earth has gone through your head? Well, my wife knew, and I knew, that we had left because of corruption in the organisation. And that if I stayed, I would have become tarnished by that corruption. And it was 3 years until my friends saw it. And they said, oh, we've read the papers this week. Goodness me, Stephen, you were wise to get out when you... Oh, you must have known. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. But I had to put up with 3 years of rubbish because people couldn't see that it was working in my favour. But it did work out in my favour. And I benefited tremendously from leaving and getting no job for 6 months until I'd learned to take company director off my CV and put area manager, and all of a sudden I got jobs instantly. You know, you learn things. But the reality is in whatever we're going through, God is busily turning it around. God's angels are ministering spirits sent out to serve those who inherit salvation. Don't be too surprised if an angel turns up in your life. Don't be too surprised when God suddenly, miraculously turns something round and you weren't even expecting it. We need to understand this is the way God works. God has turned loads of things into good for my life and is doing so now. I love it when it works. Interestingly, the head of the organisation that Captain Scarlet worked for was Colonel White. Colonel White lived up above us in Cloud Base. And he was the absolute representation of good. There was a Captain Black, and he was the absolute representation of evil. And he didn't get on Cloud Base. He'd been kicked out of Cloud Base. Does any of this sound familiar to you? And Captain Scarlet is everyone's saviour. Because though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as wool. You know, the people that wrote Captain Scarlet were not Christians, but they adapted some of the stories that they had grown up with into this to give it something which was very important in its day, which was all television shows had to, in their drama, depict good and evil as being opposites and different, and that good always had to win. Because these days, when you watch a TV show, and if you haven't picked up on this, you will look for this and you'll see it there, they bring in good characters who end up being evil, and they bring in evil characters that end up being good, because they want to play with your head, and they want you to think that it doesn't matter whether you're good, whether you're evil, because actually we're all a bit of each. And in some ways that's true, but the reality is the day of absolutes thinking in the media has gone. But good is still good. Evil is still evil, and we need to remember that. And when God is working everything together for our good, he means good. He doesn't mean good that will turn out to be evil. He doesn't mean it will taste nice in your mouth, but it will be bitter in your stomach. He doesn't mean good that might look good from a distance, but when you're there, it isn't actually good. It's the way that God works. God is good. He wants to give you goodness. He wants to speak goodness into your life. And although we have an enemy who is evil and wants to hurt us, God has the greater power. God is able to turn around even evil for good. If you have any doubt about this, read the book of Job. Now, I realise I am saying to you to read the book of Job, and Job is a pretty hard read. But, you know, it's particularly the first two or three chapters. They give you an insight that Job never had. It gives you an insight into what's happening in the heavenly realms when stuff is happening in Job's life. And it shows you that actually none of what happened to Job was anything to do with God. It was the devil. It was evil that had resulted. It was evil that had caused these things. And we need to remember that much of our lives is not God's fault. We can't lay our trouble at God's feet. God is busy working on our trouble to turn it round for good. So when the devil means evil to you, God wants it to be good for you. And those sort of miracles are not always instant. Sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes it takes a day. Sometimes it takes a week. Sometimes it takes a month. Sometimes it takes a year. I read on the internet this week that a woman who had been in a coma for 28 years, I think it was 28 years, 28, whatever it was, had come around. And they'd said that she would never come around. But she's alert and awake. Isn't that wonderful? How fantastic. What a good job they'd kept her alive and looked after her and done physiotherapy on her to keep her muscles in. But what a good job they did all that. The woman was still there and she is alive now. And I think that's very, very positive. Did the people who loved that woman think that that good was ever going to happen? You know, I can't speak for them. I hope that they were living in the expectation that any day it might happen. But it did happen. And we as a people need to live in the expectation of the goodness of God. Oh, sorry. Oh. Okay, the sound effect didn't work on that one. I'll just do it, shall I? Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. There you go. The angels. The angels are characters in Captain Scarlet. There are five of them. They only fly in threes, so two of them must always be on holiday. Symphony, harmony, destiny, melody, rhapsody. And when Captain Scarlet and his buddies are out doing helping things and sorting things out, the angels are flying over them, giving them cover. And they are destructive forces against the enemy. And they're always blowing Captain Black up. And they're also a bit of love interest. You know, one or two of the captains were dating one or two of the angels. Yeah. This is a kid's show, you know. Yeah. But Jonathan will tell you. Tell him. You ask him afterwards. But the reality is that God's promise of turning evil into goodness in our lives is driven by his agape love. By the fact that he loves us. That's what drives his desire to turn things round for good in our lives. This isn't romantic love. This is love that's sacrificial, love that's faithful, love that's committed. And God is committed to making a difference in our lives. He is committed to expressing his love in our lives. This is why we know. We know that God loves us, and so whatever's happening, whatever's being thrown at us in life, we know, because we know God loves us. And we should always live life recognizing that. Now it works. There. Oh, nah, good. So, Captain Scarlet has a calling. It's his job to go into all... Stop smiling at me like that, Paul. Well, okay, you can smile. Bad things happen to good people, and Captain Scarlet is there to face it with people and to suffer, so that if there's a big machine that needs stopping, it's always his body that gets thrown in to jam up the works, because he's indestructible and he'll come back to life. And I don't know how many episodes he gets blown up into 1,000 bits, and they all say, oh, this must be the end of Captain Scarlet. But he gets up out of the mist and walks out towards them. And, oh, he's all right, he's indestructible. You know, you have a calling on your life too. A calling to love and to serve God. To love and to serve those around you. You do not have a calling to feather your financial affairs. You might be very good at doing that. But God is putting a calling on your life, calling you to be a servant in this nation at this time. He's calling you to be there for people. He's calling you to be a witness and a testimony to the name of Jesus. You know, in the New Testament, there's often talk of witnesses, and these men were witnesses. We were witnesses. Do you know what that word witness is in Greek? It's martyrs. It's the same word, because the witnesses in the New Testament were virtually all martyred. The reality is a calling on our life sometimes is a calling to face trouble. But even though we're called to face trouble, God will turn it around for good. It's important we know that, but we also know that the good will come, and we have to believe that. It says in Romans 8, verse 30, just 2 verses down, those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Glory comes, people. Your calling is there before that, but glory comes. My last point. That one worked. This is the SPV I mentioned earlier. This is the only fast-moving vehicle that was ever driven backwards. They faced backwards and drove with the TV screen. I mean, why? Why? What crazy person ever designed that? But that was the way it was. Because actually, there is no window in the SPV. There's just video cameras, which was very clever in its day. And if only I hadn't bust mine on Christmas morning, and if only I'd kept the packaging. You know, they go for hundreds of pounds now. They really do. This may have been a vehicle for Captain Scarlet, but Romans 8:28 is a vehicle for God in your life. It's an opportunity for God to move in your life. Don Moen sings this wonderful song, and we've sung it so many times, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. And it's true. It's true. Because Romans 8:28 is a vehicle for you to receive the promises of God. If we will connect with God's word with our knower and know these things, it will see us through difficult times. If we know that God will turn it around for our good, we can face evil. If we know we have a calling on our lives to face up to life and to overcome, we can do it. because we know. And that's why it's important that we allow God's word to be a vehicle in our lives. They say about an SPV that it could climb gradients of 45 degrees and it could climb over. There's a specification sheet for this if you're really nerdy. And it tells you what it can and cannot do. I'll tell you what, it cannot survive a young boy with a screwdriver for very long. But what I can tell you is the word of God will see you through. And I know that in all things God is working for my good. For those who are called according to his purpose. For those who love God. And, you know, the love that God has for us has to be in some way reciprocated by us loving him back. And when we love and when we know and when we trust that good will come, it's okay. Some of the most faithful and joyful Christians I have ever met have been some of the most disabled. And I go on away and I think about it and I think, why is it, Lord, that they are so hopeful and joyous? It's because they know. They know that all things work together for their good. And I can tell you this, it doesn't matter how many years you spend in a wheelchair. This life is transitory. God is good and he wants to bless you. Will you believe that with me? You know, we need to remember to pray. Sorry, I didn't need it then, did I? We need to remember to pray. And I'd like to encourage you just to pray with me now. Would you do that? Father, we thank you that we know that in all things God is working for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. We thank you for this truth. We thank you for talking about it to us today in our hearts and revealing this truth to us. And we ask you that today you would help us to stand and to do all things by carrying on standing. Help us to hear your word and to trust you and to believe for the goodness coming down the road. Help us to believe, Lord, as we're climbing up the mountain to sacrifice, that a goat is coming up the other side for us. Help us to believe that you are making provision and we will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Father, we just ask you right now that you would draw close to each and every one of us, that we might live this week for Jesus. Amen.